強いね。
The podcast。
Jane Adventures。
Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah。
Jane Adventures。
You are all I want to know, you hold my heart, so don't let go。
Of the share/listen/subscribe/download button, thanks。
Potterhoocast。
The Sarah Jane Adventures series 4 stories 1 and 2. The Nightmare Man and the Vault of Secrets.
I'm asleep. Hey, no, not, it's a nightmare. Oh no, there's a Vault of Secrets.
Is that it? Is that it? Should I that one was the most confusing out of all the introductions you've ever done.
I could have done a Nightmare Man impression. I'd be like, hello. But I didn't want to.
Well, the Nightmare Man impression is 90% physical.
Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare. Yeah. the Sarah Jane Adventures series 4 episodes 1 and 2, parts 1 and 2. 2.
Mm-hmm. You know, you having no idea what to do and just making it up as you go along, mm-hmm. in a way, that is kind of what the Vault of Secrets does.
Yeah, and we'll get to that after we get through the kind of confusing thing. I'm really genuinely so tired. The Nightmare Man. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep and be haunted. Broadcast on the 11th and 12th of October. The 11th and 12th of October, 2010. I'm trying to guess what was number one at the box office that week.
The 11th hour. What was it?
I'll give you a clue. It was the Best Picture nominee. It is about a website, and it's very good.
Oh, The Social Network.
Yeah. Talk about a
nightmare,
man. It
was number one?
It was number one at the box office. Talk about Nightmare Man.
The Nightmare Man.
I just dropped water all over my phone. This is going great.
Oh my god.
Directed by Joss Agnew. Don't know if you remember Joss Agnew. Joss Agnew, the last time you saw Agnew was when a Mona Lisa was having its revenge. Yeah.
What a glow up.
Well, before that as well, it was Prisoner of the Jadoon as well. So, you know, he's playing the hits. And written by Joseph Lidster, his last televised Whoniverse work. Because after this, he goes off and does other stuff, and then he works on the on a Big Finish stuff as well, including the Rani Big Finish stuff. That is to say, Rani Chandra, not Rani. Other Rani. I'm fuming it up.
Do you want to do this later?
No, let's do it now. Let's do it live. Go ahead, fucking do it live. In a sentence, Luke is set to leave for university a year early, which, you know, good for him. Doesn't have to brag about it all the time. But he has to deal with Dream Joker Davros, known as a Nightmare Man, who makes everyone have bad dreams, but and then they like to feed him with the power of love or something, and K-9's there as well, and K-9 goes off to uni with Luke, and it's interesting comparing this to The Last Sontaran or whatever, when Maria was leaving because I feel like Luke's kind of fallen to the like background of the show already, so that him leaving here doesn't really feel to me like it makes much of a difference. Interested to see what you think, because I really do think like Luke, because Luke obviously is like the big mystery at the start of the show, but mm-hmm. as like Clyde comes into the picture and Rani, obviously Maria at the time as well, like his interplay with Sarah Jane obviously is like a big part of it, but like it kind of felt like after, you know, the series 2 finale that like he didn't really matter as much to the show as maybe he once did, or that the other characters could, because I don't want to be rude to Tommy Knight either, but like the other actors are kind of infinitely more charismatic and charming and good. Which
their
isn't
characters
bad.
Also have more places to go.
Yeah. And things to do.
And he is kind of, I want to say hamstrung. I will say hamstrung, actually. Mm. He's kind of hamstrung by his position as, like, the guy who... He's Sarah Jane Skip, right? He's not... Mm. It's kind of like the difference between Susan and Ian and Barbara, you know? Mm. Ian and Barbara companion. Susan is the granddaughter, so you can't really move away from that in a certain way. Mm. Now... I do think that by this point, when they were like, Luke is leaving, I was kind of surprised that I went, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't really care about that. And, but at the same time, I was glad that they made it like a very entertaining story that that felt like surprisingly real at times. Like, you know, they really gave him... It wasn't like a... I feel like Maria was sort of like... And in this episode, she's also leaving. Goodbye! And then she disappears into the background. Whereas with this one, you know, they kind of give her more of like a thing... They kind of give him more of like a thing to do. They give his entire, like... episode... this theme of like growing up and leaving and how does everyone feel about him like abandoning them earlier and blah, 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 and all this and that. And that's, you know, that to me is like what makes this episode. Also, I think for a TV show for kids, some of these nightmares, They almost get to the point where I'm like, this was too scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a little bit too scary, guys. Like, not that it's a bad thing. I was just kind of genuinely shocked at some point I got. And also, it doesn't like play. I think the thing that this episode really smartly does is that it takes Luke's fears, which are fears that a lot of kids have, and it doesn't make them like associated with the monster. I mean, the monster does feed on the nightmares, but it's not like fearing about the fear of being like abandoned and replaced is what created the monster. You know, anything would have, you know, made the monster show up. And so they keep those nightmares and those fears real. And I'd say the same thing goes for Ronnie's fears and Clyde's nightmare, which honestly was like the most real, like it generally kind of hurt me a little when like old Sarah Jane shows up and she's like, they're going to put me in a home. I was in space, you know? And mm-hmm. she's like clearly lost her mind. And I was like, oh my God, no, this is actually getting me sad. Like, and for a show to do that, for a show ostensibly about what if there was a spooky man in your nightmares, to do that and to make me go, oh, okay, you know what? I actually am scared by that.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very impressive.
Mm-hmm. I will say I do kind of think the second episode is kind of not great, but I think the first episode feels so different and it feels so like fresh and it feels so, you know, exciting and scary, and you know, the way it kind of counts down, I think it's really interesting. The way it's like made. I think the second episode kind of loses that a bit for me. I do kind of think,
because the more you see that guy, the less scary he becomes. The first time you see him, he's literally just a reflection on a mirror, and it is generally one of those. It felt like the fucking bit from Exorcist, where that demon's face would pop in every now and then, and they would just never explain it. That's what it felt like. And then afterwards, in the second episode, it just turns into, like, he's basically like a clown. He's going like, roop, 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 roop. You people are very, very nasty. Like,
It's just as well as that. Like, all he does in that second episode is walk around, and just doesn't really feel like, you know, the menace that he had kind of dissipates, I think, for me. Julian Bleach in general, I think in this one, because obviously, like, before this, he's been Davros, and then before that, he was the guy in the Torchwood, where he was, you know, in the circus, going around doing stuff. So it's kind of interesting that if he's not doing Davros, he's playing, like, you know, interdimensional weirdos. But, like, I think here he's kind of hamstrung. Like, I think he's good, and I think he's really trying. He's doing a really kind of, you know, he's really kind of committing to the idea. But I think he kind of eventually gets hamstrung by the material he's kind of been given to play. And it kind of just, like, the resolution to everything to me is kind of just, it's not quite there for me either. The way it's like, if we all, you know, join up together, then he'll be defeated. And it's like, well, you know, there's surely a more kind of thematically kind of interesting way to do it than to be like, you know, love kind of conquers all. If we all join up together and hold hands,
hands, you know, say we're not scared.
Yeah,
and then that's it. That's all you gotta do.
Because it's the exact same ending as Odd Bob as well. Like, Odd Bob, the exact same.
It does feel like they really want to make it happen for some reason. Like, they really want to make it happen. They're like, someone in the Sarah Jane Adventures office read it. I was like, what if we just do it again? The problem is that literally before they defeat him by saying we are not scared of you anymore, then why is it that that's what the like then why does he say, oh, it's just saying words is not gonna hurt me?
Yeah.
And then that's what happens. What the hell? Like, it just kind of made me, I was literally realizing that, and I went, shit. Damn, that's right. Like, it kind of feels like they don't really know what to do. And they were like, okay, they just say something and then they save the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. The thing as well is that they introduce so much stuff, like the sentient concrete and, like, Kanan going to the dream.
Concrete. What that happened. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the Kanan leaving is because, like, Bob Baker's like, no, there must only be one K9, the sanctity of the brand.
Too slow, Robo Fuzz. If the Nightmare Man came to them, they'd all be dead by the morning, to be honest with you. Yeah, it the whole thing with Kanan, yeah, it just kind of feels, I think that does kind of work as a moment to be like, you know, oh, I need make sure he's okay, I'll send K9. But then, like, in the next episode, there's no mention of K9 whatsoever. It's just, like, Luke's on video feed and doing stuff. I don't know, like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in here. There's, like, the Slitheen there. That guy pops up for, like, 2 seconds. He's like, you're not going to stop me. Like, that's a fun, I think that's a fun moment when there's, like, a Slitheen cold open, and then she's like, you know, you're like, she gets so nervous about, you know, having to talk to Luke about everything. I think the interplay between her and Luke is good. I think the whole thing, like, you know, Luke's obviously terrified that she doesn't, you know, care about him anymore because he's going away, and she's like, you know, he interpolates her trying to help him out as her trying to get rid of him. I think that stuff's really interesting. I think that stuff really kind of plays into the plot. I just don't really think it ultimately kind of, like, I think if that kind of stuff played more into like how the thing was resolved, and if the Nightmare Man wasn't so much just like a guy who's like, you know, I'll feed off your nightmares, if he was like more like, you know, I'll feed off your insecurities or whatever, maybe that kind of works more for me. I think it's just here, it kind of feels like, you know, there's two elements that are close for me to meshing, and then they don't quite mesh in the end for me. And it just kind of, it's not like, I didn't hate the episodes. I didn't think they were bad. I thought they were quite good. It just doesn't fully kind of land for me in places, I think.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I just think that, I'm not disagreeing that it doesn't land fully in certain places. I just think that there are some moments here that really made me go like, Damn, this works. Even if it doesn't coalesce into a full thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the nightmare part really, really worked for me. Like, and I really liked it when the Nightmare Man was like, but wouldn't it be terrifying if I was so much more than an alien? And then he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of an example of the ultimate problem with this episode, where it's like, it's hinting towards a lot of cool things, and then it's just like, no, he's an alien from the galaxy of Galaxania, and the way to defeat him is to defeat the by words, the way you would defeat a bunch of stuff from Doctor Who. That's it. That's all you gotta do. And that's kind of where I am, where there's a lot of great moments and also a lot of nothing. A lot of nothing just amounting to a lot of sound and fury amounting to nothing.
Mm-hmm. What about the bit where he goes into school and they have a girls allowed surprise party for him during school hours, when everyone's there and they're dancing around the girls allowed and he falls asleep, and then he gets to meet the whole thing at the party. Just feels so, it feels so over time. By the way, shout out to Snapped if you like Girls Aloud. I don't know if they don't go to Aloud, but anyway. There's that. There's him using like early 2010s Facebook for like 2 seconds. That really brought me back. There's the bit where he has a nightmare about his fake replacement, who's just like another.
Gosh, I hated that guy. I hated that guy so much. I hated that kid. He didn't even say a word. I hate that kid.
Bring him back. Bring back Josh. Where's the Josh tapes? You know, he's fighting crime.
Hate that motherfucker. Get the fuck out of my screen, Josh.
It is interesting that they're doing, like, you know, otherworldly guys now, especially when, you know, Russell's been like, the show is going to be a lot more like, you know, fantasy and kind of, you know, otherworldly stuff than just like, here's an alien from Alien World. He was ahead of his time, the Nightmare Man. I also like how Luke opens up being like, you know, the doctor, his friends, and also my mom.
Mom, yes. She's not included in that group.
Didn't he keep in torture as well? Like, doctor, his friends who like shag everything. The robot dog who went to Australia for like 5 months and then came back to us.
Too slow, Robo Dog.
Too slow, Robo Fuzz.
I know I can feel us moving on to the next episode, but I just really want to emphasize how much the scene of Clyde's nightmare of him working like the service job and somebody coming back from his past be like, oh, you never amounted to anything, you're so stupid, Ola. I was like, that to me felt very real in a way where it's like suddenly like it got real.
I like how,
go ahead.
As I said, yeah, you go ahead. Sorry, go
ahead. and I think it also helps/makes that scene sadder because we know that Liz Sladen unfortunately passed away, and to see her old and in old age makeup and doing all that old stereotypical old person stuff, it really just tugged at my heart for a moment. Out of the entire episode, that was the part that made me go like, damn, okay, there's actually somebody here.
I have two other things to say before we move on. Which one is that I like the bit where she's like, you know, I said, I've got a home, thank you very much. And she puts on that really kind of like snooty voice. That was really funny. It's a really good performance for her. Also, watching this, the bit where Nightmare Man goes on the street, you know, and like all the tentacles come out of his hand, he's going like, yeah, made me realize that Can You Hear Me is just a remake of this story. Because Can You Hear Me is about a guy who's like, you know, going to dreams and like using people's like insecurities and fears to his advantage. Obviously the Nightmare Man doesn't have a girlfriend like Zelen does, so you know, he has no Riz. But you know, the Nightmare Man has no Riz, I'm sorry, you know. Did you see those gloves? Those gloves, you know, get rid of those gloves, man. Get a new
honestly
jacket.
It really is startling how he starts off like a scary figure and then he ends the episode literally acting like a black box theater clown who's like exaggerating every movement and going like, you said there was a great big a new like awesome performance thing that for us to latch onto, much like the Sarah Jane Smith.
I said that after watching part one. I watched part two and was like, oh, Nightmare Man doesn't really have much going on here for that kind of thing. In part
really,
one,
you don't think that the bit where he like talks to Sarah Jane Smith and he goes, no help for you, Sarah Jane Smith. You think that doesn't like that's not scary?
Oh, it is kind of funny that his ultimate doom is that he's just in that burger restaurant and here talking about like, you know, her old past glories. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to talk about here. I do have a vault to open up if you want to look at it in the vault.
Social reckon I'm losing it. They want to put me in a home. I said, I've got a home. Thank you very much.
I have so little to say about this episode.
Well, let me open the vault. I'm going to disc the Mandrix. Let the record show, by the way, that when we talked about when we did Revenge of the Jadoon or whatever the fuck it was called, I did call that he was going to come back.
Oh my God. Who asked for him to come back? Who asked? Like, literally.
Yeah. we'll get that because there is a problem here. So the Vault of Secrets broadcast 18th and 19th of October 2010. There is a new film, Top of the Box Office. Do you want to guess what it is? I can give you one hint.
Give me the hint?
Yeah, the hint is that it's a 3D movie, but it's probably not a 3D movie that you would assume would be number one at the box office.
Oh, I have no idea. You might as well just tell me.
It's about a bunch of friends who get together and they do some very silly and slightly dangerous things.
Oh my God, is it Project X? What is it called?
It's not. It's a threequel that has one more sequel.
The Hangover?
No, but it's kind of similar in the way that it's about these guys who will put their lives on the line for the sake of
Jackass.
Jackass 3D, number one at the box office this week.
What the hell? People used to have so many little things to worry about back then, you know? Like, yeah. Life used to be so much more. I was thinking about that just today, being like, I was reading the 2003 Oscars, and I was like, these guys had so little to worry about. they really did not know how bad things were going to get.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neither did Steve.
I depressed myself now.
Yeah, and the Rockwell Supreme. Directed by Joss Agnew, who did last, we just talked about him last week, and written by Phil Ford. And Phil Ford at this point, his last credit was obviously Wars on Mars, you know, shout out to the Kane Don't Miss. But this is also like, this is him ending a trilogy of Andrevax and the Men in Black. So let's go into a sentence and talk about that. So Andrevax returns to get help in finding the spaceship or whatever, while the Men in Black from Dreamland, remember Dreamland, hunt him down. In the end, Andrevax goes to space or something, the Men in Black wipe Gia's mind, and then they die. And thank God we watched Dreamland, so we get the great context of this modern, these three guys walking around. I don't like. There's an interesting idea in this one, I think, which is ocean waters and like the local neighborhood watch. and like them being like, oh, the men in black are around, and they're like, you know, they're getting to all their friends, and like, you know, they got to me when I was, you know, young, and like, you know, there's proof of aliens out there, and like Keita and, you know, Harish and all this stuff. But like, why focus on this fucking lizard, man, you know? When like last time it was fun because, you know, Liz Sladen was like getting to, you know, go all out. But it's so subdued for like all of them. There's nothing to latch onto at all with regards to like any, like it just feels so like we had to like wrap this idea up, so we gotta, you know, get this story.
Why though? What was it about that previous the prisoner that you do that made people go like, damn it, man, like, fuck, we really left that thing in the line. We really gotta bring it back to explain it. Like, what?
It's, yeah.
Why?
It's just so boring. Like, all the performances are boring. The Men in Black guys are, like, so, like, boring. They're trying to do stuff, but it's so, like, one note. And, like, the stuff with the Geeta is so one note as well. Well, like, you know, oh, there's an alien there. Like, I think if you were to focus more on that, it'd be much more interesting. But instead, you get this fucking Androvax shit. And like, his whole plot's like, I'm going to steal a spaceship, but just to get out of... Because like, the whole conflict at the end is like, oh, he's going to blow up the Earth by saving these people. But like, it's so like out of like left field. Like, it's such a big turn to make. And just, I don't know. Yeah.
It's not only just such a big jump to make, it also comes way too late. After essentially a part and a half of people being people basically being like, there is no reason for us to fear this. It's like, there's no stakes. There are no stakes. There's nothing bad going on. And then they're like, well, guess what? If you do the thing you thought was good, you're gonna die. And it's like, I guess
it's just so silly. It feels like a means to end to get rid of like the Men in Black and Androvax, but we don't need to get rid of them, as you said, because no one was asking for them to come back. No one watched. Like, I get in sense like the Men in Black because Dreamland, obviously, you know, you have them, and it's kind of like, oh, well, it'll be interesting to like to have them make the jump into, you know, proper stuff, because then you have like, you can have an idea of like, you know, avenues for stuff. There's literally like Androvax, there was no loose end. There was nothing to carry over. There was nothing to like touch on. That guy was like done. It's just so like it feels like, you know how like the gift, like we did the gift, and the gift was, you know, it feels like they're trying to do a version of the gift where like, you know, there is no sudden double cross. He genuinely wants their help. But then there's like nothing to be gained from doing that in terms of like compelling stuff. It's just like, it's just happening, and it's just, I don't know.
It's boring. It's boring. I made like 15 notes for the Nightmare Man. And for this, I made literally 3 notes. I'm going to read all of them right now. Here we go. Note number 1. Ha, their name burps and they tell you to let it out. Note number 2, Androvax again. Note number 3, why do they live the disc with that random woman who got abducted? I don't know if I just zoned out the part where they explained, but the whole time I was like, wait a second, what was it about that woman that was safekeeping? Like, this must be safekeeping.
Her name was Ocean Waters, that's what it was.
Also, justice for Minty and Ocean, and everybody's making fun of them, and they're just like having fun. They're just like doing their shit.
They're just hanging out. That guy's name is Mr. Dread. He was like, I'm an android. I'm calling myself Mr. Dread for whatever reason. I don't know. There's one moment I think is fun. I'm interested if you agree with me. It's the moment where Rani walks into the attic and Sarah Jane is like, I'm trying to hide the Pyramids of Mars from the show Pyramids of Mars from NASA. That's a fun like little character moment. Luke is there because whatever reason, I don't know, he wants to be on the webcam. But it's such a fun like little kind of callback, and then the most boring fucking 80 minutes of your life starts, or 40 minutes, whatever it was.
It's almost like, yeah, she was like, and not an, let's stop that interesting story. And here's Androvax.
It's well, like, because like Sladen was going off last time, they're like, oh, how about we have Androvax, you know, pop into, like, you know, into Rani, into Clyde, into Geeta and all stuff. And like, whatever, like, nothing against them, because the three of them are, you know, they're some of our greatest performers. But like, yes, you can see, like, they're not really, like, you know, it's like they're being told not to, you know, play into it and just try and be normal. And as a result, like, those performances just don't really, like, pop. And then Liz Slayton gets to do it again, and she also feels like she's being told, like, oh, ramp it down from last time, you know, make it be like perfectly normal and like, you know, barely there. And it just feels so, like, so wasteful to try and, like, you know, do that again. Yeah. And, like, you know, yeah.
The first time wasn't even interesting. He's such a boring villain, because the whole time he's either like, the whole time you're like, can you please just tell us what the twist is? Can you please just be like, just say, oh, I'm secretly going to blow up the earth. You know, like, just, can we skip to that part already? It's so boring to just have to wait to get all the way to that, like, to that point.
Mm-hmm. The vault, though, looks cool, I guess. The vault full of spaceships. It's a cool idea to be like, there's a vault and it's like full of fucking spaceships. And then you get there and it's like, we get there for like maybe 3 seconds and then it's gone. And it's, yeah, like, mostly at the surface of another joke. Like, he had been like, I saw an alien. Oh, no, no one else saw the alien. Oh, you saw the alien. It's just like, we've used her better than this before. We've used all these people better, yes, than this before. And like, they're just being wasted on this fucking runaround that isn't even a fun runaround. It's not even a fucking runaround. It's just fucking scene after scene after scene of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's boring nonsense. It's so boring. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I mean, it's no coincidence that we are all very tired for this episode. Like, I'm just so... I think the Nightmare Man, I think I like the Nightmare Man more than you did. Mm-hmm. I liked it pronouncedly more than you did. But it does feel like so, like we're back to this again. Like, every time Sarah Jane Adventures does something great, you're like, that, more of that. And then they're like, oh, we hear you. We hear you loud and clear. Androvax trilogy. Here we go, baby.
Yeah. Like,
no, oh, no. You were so close.
At least next week we have Joe Grant and Doctor Who. And Iron Fist from Netflix's Iron Fist.
What?
Yeah, he's in it as Joe Grant's. It's either nephew or grandson or so. He's some relation to her, but he's in that. And also Vultures, voiced by David Bradley. So that'll be fun to witness. Unfortunately, we have to witness Androvax instead. You know, it does feel par for the course. Like you were saying, that like series one, we really dug series one of the show, and then like series two rolls around, like, yes, let's get ready, series two. And series two was just kind of like, you know, the plane was going down. And then series three, there was times where, like, if like the plane was going back up, and then stuff like you disappoint me, Sarah Jane Smith. The plane was fully crashing to the ground, you know. It just, it feels like a show where, like, you know, it's a very hit and miss now, I think, which is sad, mm-hmm, because it really did have, like, promise when it started. But, like, now it just feels kind of like, you know, you're lucky if it's, because it's competent.
You're lucky if both parts are high quality instead of just one.
Yeah, and here it was just two parts that were completely like lacking in anything, really.
Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah.
So welcome to series four, guys. Isn't this exciting? Oh, isn't it great? Yeah. Favorite podcast, and they're all super happy about it.
Oh man.
And the thing is, we already pulled the forget about this handle with a fucking Canines. We can't do it again.
Canine?
Oh, no. Never mind. You don't know. Never mind.
No, he left. He left. He left last time.
Yeah. Yes, of course. He left the show.
Oxford, all of Luke's friends eating beans and curry.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Now Miracle Day, we can forget about that one.
Jesus.
But yeah.
Oh no.
I think that's about it. We don't have anything else to talk about. Yeah. Doubling these up meant that we didn't have to speak, or I didn't have to put out like a 9 minute long episode on the Vault of Secrets, so
yeah. Instead, you guys got 35 minutes of us wishing we were dead.
Yeah, what else would you want?
What more can you ask for?
Mm-hmm. I just realized, I think this is coming out like around the time. Is it coming out around the time the show comes back? It might be. Who cares? I think last time was. I don't know. Who cares? Sarah Jane. Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
The Doctor is dead.
Units will take charge of the funeral in conjunction with the Shanshis.
It's Joe Grant.
It's a long time since I've been called out.
Steady, getting closer.
No.
Closer and closer.
It's the Shanshi. This whole thing's a trap.
Basil is...
Sir, gosh, that was different. Hello, everyone.
Doctor!
Where's Sarah Jane?
Well, where's everybody?
Where's the whole world?
Everybody's gone.
What about Mr. Smith?
Well, we've gone blank. Like he's not even in there anymore.
What if it's just the two of us left in the whole wide world?
There!
What is that?
It's an every screen.